It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We rebroadcast him later on during the week and also on the weekend. We say good morning to Arthur. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning. And it is, you know, fresh air, nice little breeze here. Good morning. And except... I'm on a very restricted diet for the next few days because of a medical situation. And I'm on a low-fiber diet. So what to eat last night? Because I'm a vegetable guy. I'm a fruit person. And I have really good melon in the refrigerator. I can eat, rather than saying all the things I can't eat, I can eat protein, and I can eat any white flour carbohydrate. So first thing, of course, that comes to my mind is pasta. Forget white bread. Pasta is an indulgence lately, but last night I was able to indulge. But I couldn't have tomato sauce. I couldn't have it with a vegetable. Actually, I'm prepared here to have a pasta with zucchini, but I can't eat zucchini right now. Anyway, I guess I'll steam some today and let Bob eat it.
That's nice.
Because it's got to get eaten. But my excuse for making fettuccine Alfredo, something I wouldn't dream of making normally because it requires an inordinate amount of butter and, well, an inordinate amount of Parmigiano is okay, but the butter is really what sets this dish off. But Americans don't understand this. I am seeing all the time somebody on food TV saying fettuccine sauce. I'm sorry, Alfredo sauce.
Really?
Oh, you're making an Alfredo sauce. That's when somebody is making some kind of bechamel with cheese in it. Or, I don't know, tossing the pasta with an enormous amount of cream. Now, the real Alfredo does not have cream. It is only butter and Parmigiano. And I will allow some pasta cooking water. Depends on how you look at this. I had to go to the real Alfredo in Rome, the real restaurant where it started, Alfredo's, to learn how to do this. And I came home and I said, you know, I'm not doing it that way because it's just too much butter. What they do, let me just also, listen, sidebar, I was in Rome broadcasting from a very, very fancy hotel where we had a very, very fancy penthouse. And my then-assistant, Sean Brady, was with us. So it was actually a two-bedroom penthouse. We had a ball in Rome for a week. At the last day, when I wasn't obliged to do other things, I said, I have to get to Alfredo's. I've never been there before. We're going to call downstairs to the concierge and make a reservation. So by this time, of course, they knew me in the hotel, broadcasting a food show in English from Rome. And they said, Mr. Schwartz, you do not want to go to Alfredo's. I said, no, I want to try the famous fettuccine Alfredo. And they said, no, Mr. Schwartz, believe us, it's not a good restaurant. You don't want to go to Alfredo's. I said, no, I have to go. So we insisted on going, and I must say, the fettuccine Alfredo was sublime, and the rest of the food was dog food. I swear that they had frozen ground, you know, like prefab veal patties if you ordered a veal dish. That's what you got. Breaded and fried. You can buy those in the supermarket. Anyway, what they do at Alfredo's is they bring out a large oval platter. Well, I guess large if we were a group of like five or six. So it was large. And it is heaped with steaming egg noodles, fettuccine, and on top is a nice covering layer of grated cheese. Not just the sprinkling. I mean, the whole thing is coated in cheese. And the waiter comes over and tosses it at the pasta with the cheese. And what you don't see is the vast quantity of butter that is underneath the pasta. And just from tossing the noodles with the cheese and the butter underneath, the cheese and the butter form an emulsion that coats the pasta and is very, very creamy. So you might, if you were trying to reproduce this, you might think, oh, I need to add cream. But you're not. Now, here's the little quirk in what I just said. I've tried doing this. In fact, I did it last night, except I didn't have fettuccine I had in the house. I only had spaghetti, but I'll get to that in a minute. So, by the way, this is a standard dish that your mother, if your Italian mother would make for you if you had a bad stomach.
That's right.
It would, you know, just...
Or even your Jewish
spaghetti,
mother.
Spaghetti with butter and cheese.
Right.
Except that, you know, 99% of the mothers didn't bother to make an emulsion of the cheese and the butter. Maybe some of them ended up with an emulsion. You could splash a little pasta cooking water over this to make it a little creamier yet. And I read a recipe once, I've never tried this, where you actually take the pasta cooking water and melt the butter into the pasta cooking water and then stir in the cheese and then add your pasta. So you end up with a creamy emulsion. It is like what Romans do with cacio e pepe.
Right.
Cacio e pepe is pecorino, grated pecorino cheese with pasta cooking water and pepper. Nothing more. And it's not easy to do. And the trick really is you have to add fat to that. A lot of Romans will tell you, no, you have to do an emulsion without the fat. It's lazy to add fat. Well, fat makes it possible to get it creamy and smooth. And the fat is usually butter in Rome. I haven't seen anybody add olive oil, but butter is very good with cheese. So so last night what I did was, because I am eating in bianco. In Italian, you would say mangia in bianco, eat in white. So rice would be good. You know, I have to eat all these white things, but maybe not potato because there's too much fiber in potato. But anyway, it's only for a few days. It'll be fine. In fact, I think I'm looking forward to white toast with butter.
Right. How bad can that be?
I haven't had that in I don't know how long. You know, I can't eat whole grains. So last night what I did was, and I remember this from way back, and I'm not sure where I learned it, but maybe it was from Marcella Hazan, that when you make a real Alfredo, you don't want to put the butter over heat. You want to melt it very gently. Maybe it could have been from Giuliano Bujali that I learned this too. Those were my mentors in my early life, my Italian cooking mentors. Anyway, I put my butter for 8 ounces of pasta spaghetti. I used a whole stick of butter, sweet butter, and I put it on my oval platter. And I happen to have a small collection of oval stainless steel platters, like you get when you get sizzling something in a restaurant. They're very, very handy. I use them almost every day. So I put on my large one, I melted the butter over the steaming, cooking pasta. So that it was very gentle. In fact, at some point, I only started doing this when the pasta was half cooked, thinking it probably didn't need more than 5 minutes. But in fact, the steam was so gentle, it needed 5 minutes. So, and that was great. I had this nice pool of melted butter. As soon as the pasta was done, I drained it and put it right on top of the butter. No pasta cooking water, but maybe I should have. And then I coated the whole thing heavily with cheese. I don't know the weight of the actual cheese, but measured out after it was grated, it was a full cup of grated Parmigiano. So 8 ounces of pasta, 4 ounces of butter, it's a whole stick, and a whole cup of grated Parmigiano. And that was very indulgent for two people. Very. Belgian Bianco is not a, a hardship.
No, and my sister used to do that. That was her. That was, I would say, between the age of, I don't know, 2 and 11. That was,
well,
her
in fact,
diet.
We went out to dinner for my sister's birthday on Saturday night, and my niece, she's now, I taught her fractions, somebody said. So she was kept saying she was 5 and a half, and I said, I think you're 5 and three quarters now. So she's 5 and three quarters, and she's not an easy eater. But we went to an Italian restaurant in Philadelphia, and she gobbled up her spaghetti with cheese and butter. She absolutely ate every last strand. So, yeah. You know, it's like a universal food, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm just going to throw in, because... because is the Bon Appetit recipe is tracks with you. If you search fettuccine Alfredo on the internet, you will get cream.
Oh, by the way, the origin story is really fun. Mary Pickford and
Douglas Fairbanks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We're on their honeymoon in 1920. And they ate at Alfredo's little restaurant. I mean, in those days, it was the real chef named Alfredo. And they were served this dish, and which he tossed in the... Of course, he made a show of it. I mean, I don't think Mary Pickford and... What's his name again?
Douglas Fairbanks.
Douglas Fairbanks, sorry.
It's okay. I'm glad I have a use this morning.
Douglas Fairbanks. Yeah, I know. And I'm more familiar, actually, with Douglas Fairbanks
Jr.
I always had the Jr. at the end.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, they wouldn't have gone, probably, if it wasn't some, you know, somebody hadn't said, oh, you have to go here to eat this or whatever. And Alfredo would toss it in at table in the dining room. Excuse me. They enjoyed it so much, they went home and they bought him a golden, it was probably Vermeer, a fork and spoon for him to toss it in the dining room, and they told all their Hollywood friends, and all the Hollywood people went there, and then and thus fettuccine Alfredo, which most Italians would laugh at because they all have their, you know, it's just pasta con burro e parmigiano. That's all it is, something your mother makes for you after your fever has broken. Anyway, along with my, I needed some protein anyway, just to explain, I had a very, very busy day driving back from Philadelphia, visiting somebody in the hospital, meeting with my family, get home. I had a can of Spam.
How old was it?
It doesn't matter.
Maybe 10 days old.
So that means you bought it.
I just bought Spam for the first time in my life.
What provoked?
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's start with Bob is from Hawaii, and he has nostalgia for Spam.
Yeah.
But then I'm in the supermarket. This is months ago, and out of nowhere, this Asian woman comes up to me. Asian, but American. And she comes up to me, and I mean, she didn't know that I was Arthur Schwartz, the food guy, but I must have looked like I know how to shop at least, because I was in the same aisle reading labels with her. She said, I am making this recipe. It was for chimichurri, and it calls for sherry wine vinegar, but the sherry wine vinegar is like 3 times the price of the regular vinegar. Do you really think I need to use sherry wine vinegar? I said, no, you don't. Buy this, and it was an inexpensive vinegar. That would be perfectly fine in a chimichurri, like red wine vinegar. There are very good ones in the supermarket, by the way. You don't have to go out of your way to get good red wine vinegar. Anyway, so I said to her, well, now that I've helped you, would you help me? Are you Chinese? And she said, oh, yes, I'm Chinese. I said, well, I've been making fried rice lately. It's not always so successful. What tips can you give me for making fried rice? And she said, well, my main thing is it's got to be day-old rice.
Right.
So use the rice from the Chinese takeout, which is what I do, she says, the Chinese woman. Chinese-American woman, I guess I should say. She said, and da-da-da-da-da, and she gives me her recipe, which is sort of more or less what I was doing already, except she's, I never add soy sauce except at the table. I just told that to my cousin yesterday, who is an excellent, excellent Chinese cook, and I must say altogether Asian cook. And she said, no, I always add a little soy sauce at the end. Anyway, and she said, if you want it to taste really Chinese, you've got to use Spam as your protein. I said, Spam? She said, oh, yes, you could put in ham, you could put in Chinese sausage, they're easy to get these days. You could put in this, you could put in char siu, roast pork. But she said, if you want it to taste really Chinese, you got to use Spam. So that's why I bought the can. Oh, also, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but there are Spam commercials lately.
Yep.
Spam.
Yeah, so altogether, Bob being from Hawaii and always talking about Spam, because he was a very poor boy in Hawaii, and that's what poor, and by the way, Hawaii loves Spam. Because during the war, they couldn't get meat except for processed meat. By the way, I did read, I mean, you're the looker-upper, Jill.
Yes.
A Spam, I think, supposedly means specially processed American meat.
I will investigate. It's possible.
But of course, it rhymes with ham.
I know, but also speaking of Spam,
yeah.
Processed? You know, it's like you can only get processed. It's like, yeah, it's just a walking processed food.
Well, I opened the can, my first can of Spam. You don't need a can opener anymore.
That's
it's got a tab open. And I only bought the little can. This is, you know, I'm very tentative about the Spam. It's a 7-ounce can.
Spiced ham.
Pardon me?
Spiced ham.
Spiced ham, that sounds more likely to me.
1930s.
1937. It was created in 1937. So during the war, it was shipped to Hawaii. It was. By the way, I have been to Hawaii a few times. They have Spam sushi in Hawaii. Literally a little rectangle of Spam, because it is a ready-to-eat meat. You open the can and you can eat it. I wouldn't.
Right, it's salt
you
water.
Can.
It's pork shoulder,
and then they put that over sushi rice with tied with a piece of nori, and a little wasabi, I even saw it in a vending machine, because of course the Spam holds up a lot longer than
yes.
fish would. There's no fish sushi in the vending machines in Hawaii. Anyway, so I made the Spam just as a antipasto, I guess, to the pasta. And it was okay. You know, it wasn't bad at all. But I cooked it. I sliced my 7-ounce can into, I think it came out to 5 slices. If I did them a little skinnier, which I could, I could have gotten 6 slices out of it. The can says it's 3.5 servings. We served 2. that amounts to like 630 calories. Not so terrible for 2 people. But it is a fatty product, and there is a light Spam. I got to go look at the can. I think the light refers to sodium, however, not to the fat.
But it's got nitrites in it. I mean, it's what makes it edible is the...
Well, you know, it smelled like dog food when I opened the can. And I was very suspicious when I did, the only way to get it out of the can is to shake the can. So I shook the can, and when it finally came out, it bounced.
Right.
So I was very, very skeptical, but I proceeded.
And by the way,
thick skillet, even though Bob said it's going to give off a lot of fat. It did not give off a lot of fat, and I was happy I put it in a non-stick skillet, because by the time it did get a little crusty and on the outside, which is what my aim was, to get it crusty, there really wasn't any fat in the pan, and a couple of beads of fat. And it, even out of my no-stick pan, it was thickened a tiny bit. But it was good enough. I would certainly enjoy it with eggs.
It's my grandmother used that, so
you were on a chicken farm.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. My grandmother, my father would always die.
Your Hungarian grandmother?
She introduced us to Spam and to cream chip beef, and my father said exact words to her, "Jesus Christ, Millie, the kids aren't in the army yet."
Anyway, your father was a comic, so he could say that.
That's right.
He could, but I did. Haven't you ever seen Monty Python Spam?
Of course.
No, maybe I didn't. I was never a big Monty Python fan. Now I probably like it better than
you,
then.
You
same
would.
With Elvis. I didn't appreciate him then, but now I do.
You would or you should. And apparently the Monty Python is where the internet genre of Spam came from.
Well, let me say, continuing on Spam a little bit here, that Bob, being from Hawaii and having nostalgia for this and having grown up very poor, I'm going to make this. Maybe even I can't make it until after my procedure. I'm not allowed to eat fruit. But and this may be one of the reasons that Mr. Harned cannot, even though he's a Hawaiian boy, cannot tolerate fresh pineapple, only canned or otherwise cooked pineapple. His father used to make Spam with crushed pineapple. Mm-hmm. Now, you can look this up in your Bon Appetit. I think there's a recipe somewhere on the internet. I'm sure there is. They may not say it's Hawaiian, though, but Bob said, oh, yeah, that's what we grew up eating, that. You know, and you take he says, you just fry up the Spam the way you did it, and then you add a can of crushed pineapple. But, you know, he not being a cook, I
find out if his father,
you cook this down till it caramelizes or what?
All right, but
and he said, I don't know.
I think I'm looking at a Hawaiian recipe, and the thing that I just looked at three of them out of the corner of my eye. Baked is the key here.
Baked?
Yep.
His father didn't turn the oven on. No, his father did it in a skillet on top of the stove.
One can Spam cubed.
There's also, you know, you can buy that too.
You can?
It's crushed pineapple. And perhaps his father did not use canned crushed pineapple. Perhaps he used, I don't even know what you call the cubed pineapple. But I grew up eating that from the can, not the crushed so much. And you know, it's in a heavy syrup. So if you cook it down, not after long at all, it's going to caramelize. So there's a way of doing this dish, I'm sure, that it ends up being delicious if you like ham and pineapple.
Combination. You do the Spam first, and then you put the pineapple in.
You keep cooking it down until the syrup produces.
No, just until it gets warm. Just until it gets, you cover it very quickly.
That's it. So you eat it in syrup.
Spam
in pineapple syrup.
It doesn't come out that way if it's done right. That's what my grandmother used to.
Well, that's what I'm asking. You know, what's the done right?
She took the pineapple didn't go in with the juices.
Oh, okay, there you go. So then she didn't have to reduce anything.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And this recipe
for
better
or
worse.
It's like putting pineapple in cottage cheese. You don't even use the water. You just put the pineapple in, not all the juice.
Well, yeah, now you can buy, for the last 40 years, you can buy
cottage cheese extra sugar.
Pineapple. In fact, Harned here just asked for it the other day. But it's interesting that he can't, literally, digestive-wise, tolerate fresh pineapple, which does have some enzyme in it.
No, interesting, but not strange. A lot of people have that.
Yeah, but he grew up in Hawaii, so, you know, it's always...
Okay.
Yeah, but he does love pineapple, and I'm going to try making this if I'm draining the pineapple, Marshall... Seems to me I don't even need pineapple in heavy syrup. I could get pineapple in juice.
That's exactly right. That's what she did. I don't know if that's what they did in Hawaii.
Can you get crushed pineapple?
Well, you know what? Listen, what they did in Hawaii and what Bob's father did, he grew up with his father, and his father did the cooking. It could be totally different things.
Yeah.
His father was from Iowa, spent his early adult years in New York City, and then ended up in Hawaii. So who knows what Al Harned did.
I used to sit and have lunch with my grandmother, either sometimes fried bologna or Spam and bacon.
Well, you know, as I was eating this Spam, I said, you know, this is really no worse than the ham you get in the supermarket. If I buy a ham steak in the supermarket, I'm 90% disappointed.
Spiced ham.
And it's so watery. It's so, I don't know. I don't know. We used to get nice thick ham steaks, too.
Right.
And you can't get it unless you go to a butcher and have it cut for you, which I can do here, but not most people can do. In fact, I have a recipe that I was aching to make a year or so ago, and then I went shopping for the ham steak, and I couldn't find the appropriately thick ham steak, and it's a ham steak baked in milk. And eventually, the milk evaporates pretty much and forms this absolutely delicious crust over the ham steak. I used to make that in my early days with a side of spoon bread, which is essentially a souffle of cornbread. Made myself hungry just now.
There you go.
All right, Marshall made himself hungry with
the white. So I'm having an English muffin with cottage cheese.
Okay.
That's not so bad, though.
Yeah, and the thing about the Spam is you got to remember the nitrites. Like, if anyone gets nitrite sort of ishy,
then don't eat Spam.
Well, right. And the real question is, can you get nitrite free?
You know, I think there is a nitrite free.
Because that would be interesting.
But, you know, I did notice that there were a variety of Spams these days. It's not just the classic Spam. In fact, I had to look through them to find the classic one. In the blue can. I think the flavored ones or whatever they are, the alternate Spams are in different colored cans.
Well, listen, do yourself a favor. We're going to bid you adieu and bon voyage as well. But before, do yourself a favor, and along with your other report when you return, please let us know.
Well, nobody knows where I'm going.
I didn't say it either.
I can say it. I'm going on a cruise on the Queen Mary 2 from Brooklyn to Quebec and back. And part of the charm of this is that I only have to take a cab for 15 minutes to get to the ship and when I get home, and I never have to get on a plane.
Okay. Oh, it sounds absolutely charmant. Now, but still, you have an assignment on top of everything, and that is to watch the Monty Python. And just say,
no problem with that. I'll have a little time to rest this week as I'm getting ready. You know, there's always so much to do before you go away that you really need the rest when you get there. So, yeah, I'll give a report on I don't expect to eat much of interest except some good lobster rolls along the way. Or lobster.
Well, we shall see.
Or fresh fish.
Or.
Or Queen Mary food.
That's right. Okay. All right, have fun.
Mostly Queen Mary food.
Right. All right,
have fun.
All right, well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Adieu.
Adieu.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.